This is lecture three for the immune system, and we're going to start off by taking an overview of what I call our Office of Homeland Security. Any molecule that is foreign to our body is called an antigen. We learned about this yesterday. And it turns out that most antigens are either proteins or glycoproteins from bacteria or viruses, but you can have foreign carbohydrates or lipids also function as antigens. And our bodies respond to these foreign invaders, which have foreign antigens, in two ways. The non-specific defense, which we talked about 2 days ago, and the way this system works is it's ready to respond immediately and at all times in sort of a, what we call a non-specific way. And what I mean by this is it responds the same way to all antigens. For example, if you cut yourself, doesn't matter what species of bacteria or fungi or virus entered the tissue, the response is always the same. Some people refer to this as innate immunity. That's an important term, so you want to remember that. This is innate immunity. And the main components of this form of defense, we've already talked about. It's the inflammatory response, phagocytosis, you know, those little Pac-Man-like cells that sort of engulf other cells, antimicrobial proteins. We talked about interferon. We talked about complement. And then natural killer cells. We go back to lecture one to review that. Now, the other way we respond to foreign invaders is through what's called specific defense. And this system responds in a very specific way to the particular strains of bacteria, virus, or fungi that are involved in the invasion. The system has to be activated before it's up and running to its full capacity. And because it takes time to, you know, learn about, you know, what's foreign and sort of ramps up, we refer to this as acquired immunity or just the immune response. And we're going to talk about this. And there's two different forms that this will take. You have what's called humoral immunity, which refers to the B cells. And we started talking about those yesterday. We'll continue today. And then there's another form of immunity called cell-mediated immunity. And this is where the T cells are involved. And we'll talk about that as well today. One of the things I like to do in my lectures is, as often as I can, is to give you different ways of conceptualizing information, because everybody learns differently. So what I did is I found two different ways of organizing what I've just told you graphically. On the left, you see that the first line of defense are barriers, and there's two types, skin and mucous membranes. If something gets through those, then you get to the non-specific internal defenses, which include phagocytosis, natural killer cells, inflammation, and fever. And then finally, if the final stage would be specific immune response, which will either be cell-mediated immunity, that's the T cells, or humoral immunity, that's the B cells. So that's another way of, maybe you're more of a graphical person, and this helps you remember it. And there's another one over here to the right, just another way of graphically looking at it. You've got your non-specific defenses on the left here. The first line, we've talked about skin, mucous membranes, and all the secretions of those, of skin and mucous membranes. The second line of defense is phagocytosis, antimicrobial proteins, and the inflammatory response. And then finally, we've got our specific immune mechanisms, which is what we call the immune system. And it's the third line of defense, which includes lymphocytes, which includes B and T cells, and antibodies, which are part of that. Okay, now let's get into the immune response. I told you that there's two types of immune response, and one of them is called humoral immunity. Can everyone say that? Humoral immunity.
Humoral.
It's also called antibody mediated response. Can you say that for me?
Antibody mediated response.
Very good. So it's the same thing. And it involves B cells, and it results from the production of antibodies. So we talked about this yesterday. Okay, so this is not new to you. And it's a way that we defend against free bacteria, viruses, and toxins that are found in either the blood or the lymph. And the word, you know, I always like to do word derivations, because I think when you do word derivations, it helps you remember the word. So when I remember actually when I first, heard about humoral immunity, I never really knew, what does that mean, humoral? And I finally looked it up, and humor is really a medieval term for body fluid. Some of you that are in, to the Middle Ages may already know that. And so this immunity is based on pathogens and the resulting antibodies that are floating around in the blood or lymph. In other words, they're floating around in the body fluids. So that's where the term humoral comes from. Cell-mediated immunity involves T cells, and it does not use antibodies. And what it does is it defends against any non-self cells. And this includes any of your own cells that have been invaded by bacteria or viruses or something like that. So cell-mediated protects against cells that are either not your cells or your cells that have been invaded. And we'll talk about more about this. So we're going to start off with humoral immunity, kind of go back to what we were talking about yesterday. And if you look over to the right, you see a B cell, and you notice, do you remember that B cells, like all cells, all blood cells, are produced in the bone marrow, and then they mature in the bone marrow, hence the term B cell. And the interesting thing about B cells is that every, B cell has a different antibody on its cell surface. So you can see over here, there's, in this case, they've got three antibodies. This is just a diagrammatic representation. I mean, there's way more than three, but this just gives you the idea. But they're all the same. They're the same antibody. So this B cell produces this antibody and then displays it on the surface of its cell. Does that make sense to you guys? Okay. And the way it is arranged, the base is stuck onto the plasma membrane, and the Y part, which is the which recognizes the foreign antigen, is sort of reaching its arms out into, away from the cell. And the cool thing about antibodies is all the antibodies around one B cell will just recognize one antigen, and there are millions of different B cells. So we are able to recognize millions of different antigens, and the recognition part is the end of the Y out here, see? In fact, this picture down at the bottom is just from yesterday's lecture, basically. You've got the antigen binding site, and it's unique to each antibody, which is unique to each B cell. Now, what's amazing, and this is still, it still boggles my mind when I think about this, every antigen that you will ever encounter in your life, basically, there is an antibody sitting on the surface of a B cell in your body somewhere, ready to recognize it. And so clearly there's lots of B cells that never do anything their whole lives. They just sit there waiting for action and nothing ever happens. Okay? Now, you have these millions of different B cells, as you're seeing in the next slide. Each has with a different specific antibody, which they display on their cell surface. Now, here's what happens. If a person is exposed to an antigen, then that particular B cell with the antibody that matches the antigen will be stimulated to divide. And what happens as a result is you get a clone of cells. You get that particular B cell, you get lots of them. And that's why we call this clonal selection, okay? And as a result, some of these cells become what we call plasma cells. They're just B cells, and what they do is they are called effector cells. And we talked about this yesterday at the end of the lecture. An effector cell is one that just produces the antibody and just releases it out into the blood or the lymph. Okay? And so that antibody is now floating around. Okay? And it can bind to the antigen. They're essentially what I call them antibody factories. Now, there's some other of those B cells. They don't sit there and produce lots of antigens. What they do is they become memory cells. And what that means is they remember that there has been an attack of that particular antigen. And what they're basically doing is they're waiting around for a future invasion from that particular antigen. They're all prepared. So if you think about this, let's kind of walk through this again. You originally had just one B cell with, you know, whatever particular antibody it has on its cell surface, and that B cell is just waiting around for action. If it encounters an antigen, it starts dividing, and a bunch of those become what we call plasma cells, which are just simply antibody factories making that antibody. Some of them sort of just hang out, and they're ready now to be ready for another attack of that particular antigen. Now, someone asked me yesterday, how do antibodies, like, kill cells? So this next slide is going to tell you how that happens. And it's kind of a neat graphic. If you look over here, one way is through neutralization. You can see that the antibody gloms onto the outside of the virus or the outside of the bacteria and simply neutralizes it. Another way is it gloms onto the bacteria, and then a whole bunch of antibodies kind of come together and agglutinate, okay? Another way is if you have, let's say, a soluble antigen, and I'm thinking here like maybe some venom from an insect or something like that, the antibody will bind to it and sort of take it out. And what all these three things do is it enhances the removal of these things by macrophages. It basically stimulates macrophages to come over and eat all this stuff up. And so it's kind of like the antibodies sort of neutralize or, you know, agglutinate or precipitate the soluble, you know, these antigens, and then the macrophages complete the job. So it's kind of like a two-step process. One other way that it works is antibodies will glom on to the outside of a cell and then activate the complement system. And remember, the complement system essentially are these proteins that will punch a hole in whatever cell there is. And so if this is a bacteria, it's going to punch a hole in this bacteria, and then the bacteria will lyse. The fluid will rush in and it'll explode. So these are different ways that antigens can kill foreign nasty things. Okay. Now this is the cool slide. I'll just give you a little warning on this immunological memory slide. Turns out that this was a question on the AP exam several years ago. I think they actually gave these two graphs. I can't remember exactly how they did it. Either they made you produce these graphs, or they gave you the graphs and asked what they meant or something. But this, basically what I'm going to tell you now was a question. It's very, very cool. I love this. The first time a person's exposed to an antigen, there's a real lag between the exposure to the antigen and when that antibody production kicks in. And you can actually see that on the slide, at the bottom of the slide. On the vertical axis is the amount of antibodies that have been produced. Okay? On the horizontal axis is the number of days. And you can see that it takes, in this particular case, about 5 days for maximum antibody production to occur. So that's the lag time. And that's why when you get sick the first time, it takes a while to get you well, because your body has to produce more and more antibodies to whatever is, you know, going after you before they can come to their full effect. So you don't get well the next day. It takes, 5 days. You can think about it. Yeah, you know, about a week, you know, before you're finally getting well again. Depends, of course, on what it is. What's remarkable, though, is because of these memory cells I told you about, once you've had exposure to this antigen once, then you've produced all these memory cells. So instead of having one B cell, you have a whole bunch of them. And they're all just waiting around for another attack. So it can be several years later. Doesn't have to be, you know, they're just waiting around. As soon as there's another attack, they can, two things can happen. They're able to produce more antibodies because there's more of them. There's more of these B cells, and they can have a quicker response time. And you see that in the second graph. Just check it out. It takes about, I think around maybe 3 to 4 days for maximum response. So it's a quicker response. And look at how, look at the amount of antibodies that are produced. Just enormous amount compared to the first time. So you're able to, you know, really protect yourself. And, you know, some of you are like 5 steps ahead of me on this one, and you realize what this is this is essentially what Edward Jenner figured out. Thucydides noticed it 2,400 years ago, but Edward Jenner goes, he knew that exposure to, in his case, cowpox generated an immune response. And it took a while, and, you know, people got sick. But lucky for us, it turns out that cowpox is so similar to smallpox that if you respond to cowpox, the B cells that you make and the antibodies that you make, they work on smallpox too. So there's some crossover there. So now you're ready. So when he did that experiment with his gardener's son, the response was much quicker, and that took out the smallpox virus and prevented the kid from dying. And it's because of this. And so we now know that you can vaccinate people by simply giving them a weak form of a virus or a dead form of the virus that's been inactivated. And they essentially, when you get vaccinated, it's like the first time you've been exposed to it. So then the next time you're exposed to it, you're pretty much protected. So that's why you get, you know, measles and mumps. And if you go overseas, you get shots, you know, for yellow fever and typhoid and all this kind of stuff, because you're basically you're going through this once, so you're ready for the next time, and the next time your body can just take care of it. It's very cool. Okay, let's talk now about cell-mediated immunity. Everything I've talked about up until now has been what we call humoral immunity, and refers to B cells. Now we're going to talk about T cells. T cells do not use antibodies, and what's interesting about T cells is they defend against non-self cells, and cells that have been, they could be self cells, but they've been invaded by viruses or bacteria. So what's interesting is this system does not attack the pathogen directly, like humoral immunity. It attacks the cell that has been attacked. It's very interesting, different way of doing it. So in other words, the way the T cells are activated to attack the invaders is by cells that are not normal, and hence the term cell-mediated immunity. Okay, it's different. I have an analogy that I think helps people think of what this is like. If you want to think about the humoral system, it's like, let's say there's a war going on, and it's like attacking soldiers in the field directly. You know, antibodies directly attack the antigen while they're floating around the circulatory system or they're in the lymph system. That's humoral immunity. Cell-mediated immunity never directly attacks the invader. Instead, it only attacks the invader once the invader has taken over a cell. So recently there was a attack of Mumbai where some terrorists took over hotels. And so you can imagine that. It's similar to when, you know, these terrorists took over a tourist hotel, and as soon as they've taken over the tourist hotel, now the hotel is attacked, okay, but not before. And unfortunately, oftentimes the hotel has to be destroyed or severely messed up in order to attack the invaders. So T cell receptors are not antibodies. They are glycoproteins. So here they are. And they act very similar to antibodies, however, with a few important differences. The key difference is when antibodies bind to an intact antigen, antibodies bind to an intact antigen, while T cell receptors bind to simply a piece of the antigen. You don't have to have the whole antigen. And the antigen is displayed on the surface of the cell, and we call this an antigen-presenting cell. It's basically a cell that's been taken over by this whatever it is. And so here's my analogy again. We go back to the war or terrorist analogy. It's like having a soldier who's taken, who's, you know, inside of a building. They stick the gun out of a tourist hotel, and so a little piece of the invader is displayed on the surface of the building, and now you can recognize, oh, that building has been destroyed because I see a gun sticking out of it from a terrorist or a soldier, a foreign soldier, and now we can destroy the building. Okay, so that's kind of the way it is, yeah.
In terms of proportional sizing, a gun to a tourist hotel, or would it be a little bit larger in terms of the antigen that's like sticking out?
It could be similar, actually, in terms of scale. I mean, you know, I don't think it's you know, I don't know the exact scale, but I don't think it's unreasonable if you have a big, you know, pretty big hotel. Yeah.
So then the T cells actually go through and check every single one of our cells to make sure.
They're always doing, in fact, here I'm going to talk about it right now, recognition phase. So when the body's invaded by a bacteria, virus, antigen, whatever, the body cell will display on its surface its own markers. It has its own what we call self markers, which are antigens, and non-self markers, which are also antigens. And the role of the T cells, they're constantly patrolling the body, and if they see self markers, they're like, okay, we know it's you, we recognize you. But if they see non-self antigens, then that tells them, okay, this cell has been invaded, we got to take it out. And it turns out that tissue transplant cells are non-self, so they'll be attacked. It's a real problem with transplants. And also cancer cells will start displaying foreign antigens, or non-self antigens, I'll say, and you know they can be attacked as well. And here's, then we have the response phase, and the response phase is that once the T cells recognize non-self antigens, they go through a clonal selection process, just like the B cells, and then the T cells with the receptor for this particular antigen is selected and reproduced in large quantities. So this part's just like what I told you before, except as T cells instead of B cells. And this allows the immune system to mount a massive attack on the invaded cells. And then, I'll get to your questions in a minute. So two types of cells are produced. Cytotoxic T cells are killer T cells, and these are the ones that recognize and destroy the non-self cells by puncturing them, causing them to lyse. You got helper T cells, which stimulate the production of cytotoxic T cells. Okay, so they can help out. And they also stimulate the production of B cells, which is interesting. So I get the other system involved too. I think a picture is worth 1,000 words, and this is another nice picture. Here's an infected cell on the left, and you see that those little triangles and half circles that are sort of orangey-yellow, those are pieces of the invader. And you can see that the infected cell is displaying those pieces on the outside. And along comes a T cell that recognizes that, yes, indeed, that is a foreigner by binding to it. And when it does, it starts producing a protein called perforin. And perforin basically bores holes in the cell, causing the cell to ions and water to come into the cell, and then the cell just explodes. It lyses. And that's how cytotoxic T cells kill. Let me just finish. So body cells, in my next slide, body cells contain proteins and polysaccharides on the surface, right? Just as microbes do. And some of these proteins are called, and this is an important term, the major histocompatibility complex. Let's all say that. Major histocompatibility complex. Everybody.
Major histocompatibility complex.
Very good. MHC. And they're unique to each individual. So all of us have our own specific MHCs, unless you've got an identical twin, and then you share the same ones. Because your MHC proteins are different from those of everyone else, they act as antigens in other people's bodies. So this is why transplants are rejected. So these recipients' immune system will recognize the MHC proteins on the donor cells as foreign, and they attack the transplanted tissue, which is not a good thing. So if you get a transplant, they have to give you drugs that suppress your immune system, specifically your T cells, you know, the T cell system, because you don't want to attack those the transplanted tissues. Now, why doesn't your own system respond to these self-antigens and destroy your own cells? Well, it turns out that the key seems to be the continuous presence of the body's antigen while the system matures. So when you're a baby and you're growing up, as you're maturing, your T cells are, you know, really becoming educated about what's you, and so it won't attack you. So that's how that works.